Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to our half-hour English feature program. I'm Susie Hodges. These are the stories coming up on today's program. Bible and Synod. A biblical expert at the ongoing Synod of Bishops tells us why its theme on the Word of God is such a timely and necessary topic. Papal audience. St. Paul's relationship with the historical figure of Jesus is the focus of Pope Benedict's catechesis at his weekly general audience today. And Marriage Lifeline. We find out more about a program that offers a lifeline to couples whose marriage is going on the rocks, with testimony from a now loving couple who were on the brink of divorce. Here in the Vatican, the Synod of Bishops to discuss the theme of the Word of God in the life and mission of the Church is now halfway through its first week. Over 250 bishops, experts and auditors are attending the three-week gathering, whose aims include helping Catholics find ways to better understand Scripture and relate it to their everyday lives. Pope Benedict chose the theme for this synod and has frequently stressed the importance of Scripture in the life of the faith. And the choice of this topic is meeting with strong enthusiasm among the participants. One of those is Father Steve Pisano, former rector of the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome. He believes Pope Benedict probably chose the synod's theme for two main reasons.
One, to encourage a renewed importance of the Bible within the Church. But another reason, which is just as important, if not more so, is that the Word of God, while it refers to the Bible, also refers to the person of Jesus Christ. And so I think that by taking this topic, the Holy Father wants to revitalize faith in Jesus Christ within the Church.
Focusing, though, on the question of the Bible, I mean, surveys show that only a minority of Catholics read the Bible regularly. Do you think the Pope is concerned about that and would like to encourage a greater knowledge and awareness of the sacred scriptures?
I suspect that he is aware of that. And yes, I do think he wants to encourage more reading of the Bible and a deeper understanding on the part of priests and bishops and, of course, on the part of the faithful as well.
Do you think it's true that the Pope sees a danger in modern biblical interpretations of the Bible that could diminish the meaning of Scripture or perhaps confuse the faithful and even erode the bond between the Bible and the Church?
Well, I don't know exactly what the Holy Father has in mind, but it is true that certain modern interpretations of the Bible abstract from the basic meaning of the Bible. That is, that this is the revelation of God's truth. And so I think that by emphasizing greater study of the Bible, that he probably, yes, wants people to avoid misinterpreting the Bible.
So is his aim really then to see the Bible as a whole and as the Word of God in which everything relates to everything else and, in fact, perhaps offers a spiritual journey for the reader?
Oh, very much so. That the Word of God, of course, is at the basis of our faith. And the Bible is the best way, one of the best ways of nourishing that faith. And I think that he intends to have all of the faithful become enthusiastic about reading the Bible.
So what do you believe are going to be some of the main findings that are likely to come out of this synod?
Well, of course, that's very difficult to say for a number of reasons. The group comes from all around the world, and the situations are different in different places. I suspect that one of the findings will be something that is actually already known, that Catholics tend not to read the Bible that much. I think that one of the areas that needs to be encouraged is a greater emphasis on preaching the Bible, homiletics, using the Bible in the liturgy, lectio divina, people using the Bible to pray and to meditate.
Now, as you said earlier, the Bible leads to Christ, but how would you help to explain to a believer to find that link, to find the way that it leads to Christ?
Well, I think we have to start with the fact that Christ is the Word of God. Then we see that in the Bible we have God's written word. And I think that's the link there, that the Bible is the revelation of God in the Old Testament and then the continued revelation of God through Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And so this written word is associated directly with the object of revelation, that is God and Jesus Christ himself.
The full title of this synod is The Word of God in the Life and Mission of the Church. So how do you relate here the Bible to the church as it's lived and to its mission?
Well, I think that one of the main purposes of this synod is to underline the fact that the Word of God, and of course the written Word of God in the Bible, is central to the life of the church, but also central to the mission of the church, that is to evangelization, to preaching the Word of God to all corners of the earth. The church by its nature is missionary, and we want to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So this is very much a part of the areas of interest of the synod as well.
So would it be fair to say that indeed one of the main challenges and one of the main aims of this synod is to lead more Catholics to the Bible?
Oh, very much so. I think yes, indeed. And this would be all to the good, certainly, that after, it's now about 45 years after the Vatican Council, the Second Vatican Council, and the document on divine revelation was one of the major documents of the Council. And I think the purpose of this synod is to promote what was in that Vatican Council document and to bring it forward.
I was speaking there to Father Steve Pisano, former rector of the Pontifical Biblical Institute in Rome. St. Paul's relationship with the historical figure of Jesus was the focus of Pope Benedict's catechesis at his weekly general audience today. Lydia O'Kane reports.
Over the past number of weeks, Pope Benedict has spoken on the figure of St. Paul during his weekly audience. This week, the Holy Father continued his catechesis on this great saint, focusing on Wednesday on Paul's relationship to, as he put it, the so-called historical Jesus.
In a celebrated passage, Paul states that even though we once know new Christ according to the flesh, we no longer know him in that way. Here the apostle does not claim that he knew Jesus during his earthly ministry, but rather that he once considered Jesus from a merely human standpoint. Significantly, Paul's knowledge of Christ came from the preaching of the early church. Both his initial rejection of Jesus and after his conversion on the road to Damascus, his preaching of the glorified Christ were based on the gospel as proclaimed by the first Christian community.
The Pope went on to say that in his letters, St. Paul refers explicitly to the facts of Jesus' earthly life as well as to his teaching.
His letters also reflect many central themes and images drawn from the preaching of Jesus. Paul's teaching on Jesus' identity as the Son of the Father, in whom we receive redemption and adoptive sonship, is clearly derived from the Lord's own experience and teaching. In a word, Paul's knowledge of Jesus and his proclamation of the risen Lord as God's Son and our Savior was grounded in the life and preaching of Jesus himself.
One of those who was at the audience in St. Peter's Square was the Bishop of Duluth in the United States, Dennis Schnur.
In this meeting with the Holy Father, we come to bring our greetings from the Diocese of Duluth. And in a very special way, of course, we recall our Holy Father's visits to the United States this past April. And he was received with great affection, and he embraced us with great affection. And so we return with reciprocal sentiments to greet our Holy Father and to thank him for his gracious visits to the United States several months ago.
At the conclusion of his weekly audience, Pope Benedict had warm words of encouragement for diaconal candidates from the Pontifical North American College, and he also greeted all those pilgrims who had come from many countries to see him.
I warmly greet all the English-speaking pilgrims in a special way, diaconal candidates from the Pontifical North American College with their families.
I'm Lydia O'Kane.
just call to say I love you.
In the US, over 40% of marriages end in divorce. That's the depressing reality borne out by the statistics. And it's an indication of the daunting challenges many couples face in trying to keep their marriage afloat in today's secularized and high-pressured society. Successful marriages, however, don't work on autopilot, at least not for long. They need care and nurturing, and it's especially vital that the spouses keep the lines of communication open between the two of them. How many husbands or wives argue frequently or feel frustrated, hurt, or angry with their spouse? It's in situations like this that all too many couples believe that the only solution is to go down the path towards separation and divorce. But if married couples in crisis know where to look, help is at hand, and that help can often save a marriage. Originating in Canada, Retrovi is a program offered by Catholic couples and a priest to couples with marriage problems. Thousands of couples headed for cold, unloving relationships or divorce have successfully overcome their marital problems by attending a Retrovi program held in various countries throughout the world. The program consists of a weekend experience combined with a series of 6 to 12 post-weekend sessions. The main emphasis of the Retrovi program is on communications in marriage between husband and wife. It gives the couple the opportunity to rediscover each other and examine their lives together in a new and positive way. The teams of couples who give presentations during the Retrovi programs have themselves successfully weathered a crisis in their own marriage. And it's their success in renewing and saving their own marriage that provides help and encouragement to the couples attending the program. Frank and Julie Laborda and Father Watt Bracken are American, and all three of them are volunteer international coordinators for Retrovi. Frank and Julie are married with four children and live in Madison, Wisconsin. They were pointed in the direction of Retrovi at a time when their own marriage was on the rocks and they were on the brink of divorce. They spoke to me about some of the reasons why their marriage was failing and how attending a Retrovi program helped to renew and heal it.
We had several problems. Basically, severe miscommunication and working opposite schedules.
So the communication issues led to us living quite separate lives. And as we worked different shifts in our work schedule, he was working days and I was working nights. And I began an affair with a woman I worked with and spent 9 months in an extramarital affair with a woman from work. Our marriage obviously went further downhill after that. And we were separated twice and 5 weeks away from our final divorce when we found Retrovi.
And how did you find it?
My mother-in-law, Julie's mother, gave her an article from a magazine in the States about the program, and I called right away and registered us for the weekend experience.
And, was it really quite dramatic, the turnaround?
It was extremely dramatic for me, but I still had a lot of fear and panic and trust issues. But it gave us hope, because the couples that presented the weekend, the couples on the team, had been through misery even worse than ours. And we thought, if they can make it, maybe there's some hope for us too. And it was very grace-filled. You could feel the presence of God. And the team priest was there as well. And we wondered what the priest would have to say about marriage. But it was very grace-filled. And I was overcome with the hope that they offered.
And were the majority of the people on this program Catholic? Because you say you're open to all religions or none, or those who have none.
Yes, I think on our weekend, a great majority of them were. But you're right that couples that come to Retrovi come with all different types of faith or no faith whatsoever.
Now, the program consists, I gather, of a weekend experience. And then this is followed up with 6 to 12 week post-weekend sessions over a period of 3 months. Did you already find after that first weekend that you were discovering where things were going wrong or where to pick up the pieces? Or was it more of a question of learning to trust?
I think I knew where things were going wrong before, but I was always pointing a finger of blame at Frank. So the weekend helped me realize what role I played in the deterioration of our marriage. And then the follow-up sessions were integral in change because the post-sessions offered a chance to look more deeply at specific issues like trust, conflict, sex, forgiveness. And so that was really where the bulk of the change occurred throughout the post-sessions as well.
I think for me, the weekend showed me what could be right about our relationship again and reminded me of the reasons that I fell in love with Julie in the first place and why we were together from the start of our relationship rather than showing me what had been wrong, because you could see that in our behavior with one another on a daily basis. But being able to talk with Julie and communicate with her on a whole different level over the course of that weekend and then the post sessions really showed me what was right about our relationship again.
Is it a prerequisite that for people who go to Retrouvaille that both couples want to save their marriage? Because presumably if somebody's already given up on it, then it's hopeless.
Well, in our case, Julie had given up. This was her way of checking this one last thing off of her list of things to do before the divorce was final. So no, I don't think that both couples have to be committed to saving their relationship. As long as they're committed to spending the time on the weekend together, it could change their relationship just by being there together.
Each couple is asked to participate fully in the entire weekend and the follow-up sessions. But we would be lying if everyone who came said, yes, I'm 100% committed to making this marriage work. But over the course of the weekend, most of them change their minds and decide, yes, this is worth saving.
Father Watt Bracken is a Catholic priest from Chicago. And along with Frank and Julie, he gave his viewpoint about the strengths of the Retrouvaille program.
Before I go into what happens on the weekend, I think what is key, and Frank and Julie have already mentioned this, is the hope that is given on the weekend. The couples come there with a sense of hopelessness with regard to their own relationship. By listening to the stories of other couples, they recognize the fact that other people can go through difficulties as well and come out of those difficulties on the other side with a great deal of hope for their relationship. I think that is the beauty of a peer ministry. Peer ministry allows couples to tell their story of their misery, their story of their hopelessness, and how they moved to a sense of hope. And this is done simply on the weekend by three different couples and a priest giving a series of presentations. And the idea is that the couple gives a presentation with a priest. After that, the couples who are participating in the weekend are given a question to reflect. They do some writing, they come together, and then they share with regard to this. And through these series of presentations during the course of the weekend, couples are able to communicate with themselves much more deeply. What we tell the couples on a Friday night is we are not there to solve their problems or to work on their problems. What we do is work on their communication so that once they begin to relate to each other and to communicate to each other, then they begin to solve their own problems on how they choose to solve them.
Do you often find, in fact, that it's this lack of communication between the spouses that is at the root of these marital problems?
Yes, very often, communication. So it's teaching a process of communication. That basically is what the weekend is about, as well as the follow-up sessions.
We spend a lot of time talking about how we're feeling, so we emphasize that a marriage is not just about an exchange of information, but about how you feel about what's going on in your life and the issues that create misery in your relationship. And it's important to note that couples that attend Retrouvaille are not asked to share their problems with the other attending couples. They're not asked to air their dirty laundry with the team.
But do they nonetheless?
Sometimes they might pull you aside and share something with you personally, but not out amongst the group. It's not allowed. It's not asked for in the group. They're asked to privately reflect. At first, I questioned the faith aspect of Retrouvaille because as our marriage started to deteriorate, so did my faith, or at least my practice of the faith. I started going to church less. I started wondering if God was going to send me to hell for filing for divorce. And I wondered if the weekend would be not punishment, but condescending, because I was so hopeless. But I found it to be very gentle, and it opened my eyes to the grace and mercy that God had for me. And it started to show me that I was capable of giving forgiveness, but that I was also in need of asking for forgiveness. And that was one of the greatest gifts that Retrovi gave me, was that it seemed as though I tripped some sort of wire, and God really spoke to me through the Retrovi program.
Now, I don't know whether you keep statistics, but do you happen to know roughly what percentage of the couples who come to Retrovi do manage to save their marriage? If you have any idea at all on how successful this program is?
We've seen somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 80% of marriages at least continue on. Successful marriages, probably half. But they stay in their relationship up to 80% of the time.
That's quite a high percentage.
It's a very high percentage. And it's an experience that we see over and over on the weekend from Friday night to Sunday.
And what do these couples who, as you say, who successfully stay in their marriage after attending a program at Retrovi, what do they put it down to, this success of the program?
First and foremost, the sharing of each other, the peer ministry part of it, and then secondly, the communication tool that we use in the program to share with one another on our feeling level rather than just on a factual level.
And do some of you, these couples that attend this Retrovi, do they actually often become friends afterwards and stay in touch afterwards?
Absolutely. There's a part of the program called CORE, Continuing Our Retrovi Experience, that's in most places is a monthly support group. It becomes a social gathering and a way to stay in touch with people who are working in the same direction.
Our best friends are Retrovi friends.
And the stigma that goes along with being in trouble in your marriage is gone. Because of the pretense is gone. You're able to share on a more difficult and more open level with one another. That whole sense of being alone is washed away.
I just call to say I love you.
But what real-life anecdotes do they have of couples attending the Retrovi program whose marriage seemed doomed to collapse?
I can give you a story about a couple that we know. They were having difficulty. Of course, that's why they were on the weekend originally. They would do well after one presentation in their dialogue, and then they'd go back after another presentation, and they would find themselves arguing again. So on Saturday night, after the first presentation, they seemed to be doing well. After the second presentation on Saturday night, they started an argument, and they figured that it was no use. So they packed their bags, and they decided to leave the retreat house. Well, as happened, as they were driving out of the retreat grounds, there was a chain across the gate of the retreat house. And so there was no way that they could leave the grounds. So they turned around, they unpacked their bags, brought them back in to the retreat house. And long story short, I think this is God's sense of humor by having that chain across the gate, because this couple then continued to work on their relationship, not only on that weekend, but they themselves became very involved with Retrovi after this, to the point where they have given a good number of weekends themselves and a good number of presentations to help heal other marriages.
Do you know of any other particular anecdotes that stick in your mind?
Several, including us, but another couple that when we were presenting team on a weekend, this couple too was up and down and finally got in a huge argument and decided to drive home, and they had about an hour drive. They got about 10 minutes from home and decided it would be harder to tell their kids that they gave up than it would be to turn around with their heads hanging and walk back in the door of Retrovi. So they turned their car around and they came back and finished the weekend and completed all of the follow-up sessions.
And as far as you know, they're still together?
And as far as we know, they're still together and doing well.
You talked about how in this program you try to teach couples communication tools, how to communicate with their husbands. Can you give us any concrete examples of this?
Absolutely. For example, instead of saying, I did this, this, and this at work today, you might say it, but then how did you feel about that? and being able to share, for example, on the Retrovi weekend, if we discussed conflict and I gave you a list of 12 hot topics that couples might argue about, in-laws, money, work, sex, etc., you might be able to pick one of those topics and form a question around it. How do I feel about our discussions on money? And the important part is not what the issue of money is, but how do I feel about that? Or how do I feel when we discuss this? And so you come to an understanding that, oh, maybe we really are feeling the same way. So now we can sit and calmly have a discussion about it without blaming, accusing. And when you begin from a feeling level, it just sort of diffuses all the anger that you started with in the first place.
Now, coming back, perhaps, shall we say, to the general state of marriage in society today, as you all know, particularly in Western countries, the rate of divorce is incredibly high. Why is that? Why do people give up so quickly, do you think? What more could the church and other bodies be doing to try to bring down that rate of divorce, of separation between couples?
It has a lot to do with the family. John Paul the Great was right when he said, as the family goes, so goes the world. And so Retrovi in the church, I think, is certainly moving in the right direction to curb the divorce rate.
I just think it's so hard, especially in Western countries. We're so bent on instant gratification. And if it's not what I want, I'm going to take it back or return it because it doesn't fit right. And that's carried right over into our relationships. It's not making me happy, so I'm going to return it and start over. And it's greener grass on the other side of the fence. And in most cases, in mine for sure, you know, in being involved in a 9-month relationship with another woman, it's no different. The problems are the same. You carry the problems with you wherever you go. So you can choose to stay in the relationship you started with and fight for your marriage and work on change in your own personal life and in your relationship, or you can continue to throw them away and start with a new one. And especially in the United States, we're at the point where our society says it's just easier to toss it aside.
That was Frank Laboda. And you also heard the voice of his wife, Julie, and of Father Watt Bracken, speaking about the marriage rescue program called Retrovi.
Made up of these three words that I must say to you. I just call to say I love you. I just call say how much I care. I just call to say I love you, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. No summer's high, no warm. No harvest moon to light one tender August night.
That's all from us here at the English programme for today, but we hope you have enjoyed listening to us. We'll be back on the air at the same time tomorrow, so be sure to join us then if you can. And don't forget, you can always find our programmes at the click of a mouse on the internet at www.vaticanradio.com. .org. We'd also love to hear your comments or suggestions, so do send us an email. You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.